Friends of Jesus Christ, last week I mentioned this book, Mountains Beyond Mountains. It's the story about a doctor farmer who, while he was still a medical student at Harvard, began a clinic in Haiti. And since then, he has had not only hospitals and work in Haiti, but in Lima, Peru, Rwanda, Cuba, Moscow. He has begun an organization called Partners in Health. Farmer is passionate in his desire to combat disease, infectious diseases like TB, malaria, HIV. And in the book, he has a conversation with Tracy Kidder, who is the author of the book. And Farmer says at one point that there are certain groups of people who trouble them, who are nevertheless his allies. And he says what troubles them, or he says about them that, well, he calls them WLs, white liberals. And he says they are on our side. They're our allies. I love them to death. But he says the white liberal thinks that the problems of the world can be fixed with no cost to themselves. And Farmer says, we don't believe that. He says, there is something to be said for sacrifice and remorse and pity. He says, it's what separates us from roaches. Now, you and I may not agree with his definition of a white liberal, but given that definition, that they are the people who think that the world's problems can be fixed without cost to themselves, then we are here tonight to say that God is no white liberal. He knows it costs. And we are here to give thanks and to celebrate that our God took on the cost, that he made, in some sense, the ultimate sacrifice to make all things well for us, for he gave himself in order to redeem us. You know, I know it's late, and it's hard to think clearly when it's late, but it does strike me that it's so important to get at the bottom of this holy night. This season has become so secularized, and such stupid things are said about Christmas. I mean, I mentioned to you once, I heard this supermodel, Christy Brinkley, saying on NBC while she's surrounding with children that Christmas is all about the bright, shiny faces of children. And I thought, what utter nonsense. I mean, people did not compose glorious music, build magnificent cathedrals, fall flat on their faces in adoration, have hope in the face of dying, leave home and family for the mission field. They didn't do any of that for the bright, shiny faces of children. They did it because they were convicted by this, that the God of the universe has entered the fray on our behalf to bring us hope, to make these dry bones alive again, to give those who have no hope a boundless hope. I mean, the Apostle Paul puts it here in this Titus passage in a wonderful way. I mean, if you read the chapter, it's right in the midst of all these homely kinds of advices as to how we should conduct ourselves. And then he gives as a basis for our behavior this: for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation. And he means with that salvation, wholeness. bringing those who live in the valley of the shadow of death and bringing them into the presence of God, making those who knew no hope explode with hope, those who were captive of darkness, bringing them into the light. He brought them salvation. He promised them glory. And all of it happened, Paul says, and we believe, when the grace of God appeared. Now, this grace of God is, in fact, shorthand for Jesus Christ. And you know, we define grace as unmerited love or a love that seeks and redeems love, this grace of God, as defined now by the Christ. Let it be embodied in what Christ did. And I want to have you think about this, that this grace of God, which was embodied in Christ, enfleshed by Christ, is a grace that declares solidarity with us. The incarnation is the supreme sign that God is involved in our lives. His being born of human flesh indicates to us forevermore that he has come very close to us, close enough so that people could see his glory, close enough so that he could share our pains and our misery. Grace, this grace of God, as seen tonight, is a grace that moves close, very close. You know, you've heard of Lauren Winner. She's not so young, but she was a very young woman when she moved from the Jewish community into following Christ. And she says her reason for following Christ, for becoming a Christian, was the incarnation, that God became flesh. She says, I can no longer imagine believing in God without having him embodied, having a picture of him. And then she talks and she says, there are times when I miss my friends and my community. And they say that knowing that God became flesh should be enough. And then she says, it is enough. She says this. She says, if I should never know happiness again, but know this, have this glimmer of knowledge that the Word became flesh and was born and laid in a manger. He says, that alone will sustain me. That will sustain me. That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That it made common cause with us. That it declares solidarity with us. You know, there's a commercial. I've seen it a couple of times during the Christmas seasons. It's a jewelry commercial. And maybe you've seen it. It's where a husband, I think it's a husband, places, it better be a husband, because he places a piece of jewelry on a woman who's still asleep in bed. And of course, she wakes, she's startled, she looks up, and she looks adoringly at her husband. And then there's a voiceover that says, this Christmas, say everything without saying anything. And I thought, you know, that might not be a bad phrase for Christmas, where God says everything without saying anything. How silently this wondrous gift is given. That the Word became flesh, that he became one of us. Not simply to be our neighbors, of course, but to redeem us. Because there's not only the manger, there's the cross. He suffers forgivingly. He suffers redemptively. He becomes sin for us. So that the death that we needed to die, he dies. I mean, this wonderful thing that we are celebrating here tonight is that Christ entered our world to bring redemption. And this grace of God, when we open our hearts to it, when we accept it, when we allow this Christ to be born in us, the scriptures tell us we are given the power to become children of God. And then John's letter says, we do not yet know what all that might entail, being children of God. But this we know, when Christ appears, when the glory of the God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, when he appears in all of his glory, we shall see him and we shall be like him. And this hope purifies us. This hope makes us renounce godlessness and makes us embrace godliness. Listen, the grace of God, enfleshed in Jesus Christ, came among us to bring us salvation. Glory be to God. Amen.